Paging all tech docs. Clinic is open if your technology has a fever. Your network is short of breath. Or your system just stopped responding. You're in the right place. Here we diagnose digital disorders, troubleshoot stubborn symptoms, and prescribe real-world fixes for modern tech problems.
No guesswork, no snake oil, just practical solutions.
Welcome to the Tech Docs.
Well, hello. I nearly was waiting for Stuart to do the introductions, but this time I'm in the hot seat. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Tech Doc podcast. I am Jade. I am the rebel doc or the traveling doc, but I have no travels to report on this time. So we're going to go around and ask everyone, how are you? How was your month or your few weeks? Uneventful here for me. I've just been busy with taking little miss to school and homework and all that kind of stuff. So, Stuart Haxall, how about you? How was your week or your few weeks?
Oh, they've been all right. It feels a bit weird on this side of the table. I feel like I'm in the wrong seat here, but I had a lovely Easter. I had some nice chocolate. I had a nice big box of mini eggs, which are unfortunately gone now. But other than
you
that,
you didn't save us any.
No. And I won an Amazon voucher that I'm struggling to figure out what to buy with.
But you could buy all of us Tech Docs a nice bar of chocolate.
maybe. We'll see. I'll get Jackie some organic chocolate. I know she likes that. Yay. Chocolate.
Speaking of Jackie, how about you? How have you been?
Yeah, we had interesting. I'm now in a splint with my little fingers, and doing okay. Playing with my new toy and eating chocolate. You know, had to save the children and all that for Easter.
But yeah. For our listeners, we asked you to guess what Jackie's new toy was, so we'll have more on that in the rest of the episode. Ken, how about you? How have you been?
Oh, hi, Jade. Oh, great. All quite really just tipping away, listening to a few audiobooks, keeping myself busy and, yeah, enjoying this nice weather now at the moment. So, all's quite here.
Good. And Pat? Oh, we don't have Pat. Looks like Pat's off celebrating his birthday.
This is where you've all been hanging out with.
We have replaced Pat with Declan Mina, who is here to talk to us a little bit about an exciting project and some other interesting bits and pieces that he is involved in. Declan, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. I've also been listening to some audiobooks, eating lots of chocolate, and I was traveling around Easter. So I'm very happy because I got to go to Greg's twice in one day.
Fabulous. I like Greg's for their sausage rolls.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. So everyone has had an interesting week or a couple of weeks, because we don't do this podcast weekly. I think we would all be exhausted if we were to produce a podcast every week.
I think there might be more than just one mutiny on the podcast.
Absolutely. I think we will start with Declan because you're here this time as a guest on the show, but I suppose it's fair to say you are project lead for something very exciting that we're all involved in.
Yeah, well, we're all working together on it. And so it started a few years ago when there was some funding available for adult education. And I kind of thought, what could we do with this? And really, I think everyone on this call does some kind of work or volunteer work around helping other people with assistive technology. And I just thought, look, the best way to do it is to have someone who uses it every day share their experience. It works informally. Let's formalize it a bit. So we started with a smaller project, Vision Tech, and we moved it on then. And other disability groups were talking to us as well, and we decided to form DigiCoach. So DigiCoach is very simply about people with disabilities showing other people with disabilities how to use technology through coaching. And it's people with sight loss, but we've also partnered with other disabilities, and it's growing and growing.
That's amazing. And it's essentially one-to-one peer coaching. So that's its unique sort of, you know, we coach you, we have the lived experience, you're getting advice from people who use the technology all the time.
That's it. And really, you know, the technology changes all the time as well. And there's so many people who are newer to sight loss or people who maybe were afraid of the tech or weren't going near the tech. So just having that time is key, and having time with people like all of you wonderful coaches who are able to help and just share your experience through coaching, I think is the key, because it's just about building up the confidence and getting people more used to using the tech.
Yeah, and we do, like, it's tailored to you, so it's, we can do it in person, very limited, online through Zoom, Teams, whatever works for you. The sessions are for you.
Yeah, and it is, you know, even just looking at what we've done, we've literally gone from the basics of how do I use an iPhone if I can't see the screen, to editing, GarageBand, AI is very prominent, Meta glasses, all sorts of things. And even when I started the project, I had no idea the Meta glasses were coming. None of us did.
That leads me nicely on to tell our listeners that we also run some webinars, and you can find them on the Fighting Blindness YouTube channel. We've had a fair few. We've had Meta glasses, the iPhone, Braille. We did Festive Friday with Sight and Sound. There was a lot that we don't just coach, we also provide information on with webinars as well.
Yeah, so. And I think especially the iPhone webinar is really good. If you already use the iPhone, it just gives you a few extra things you didn't know. And the Meta glasses, there's a webinar that just goes into all the features and why they're so useful. And people will be delighted to know I did try them out last Friday. Finally.
How did you get on?
To be honest, I had something in my hand. I asked them to read it. And like, I actually was shocked at how good it was. Like, it genuinely shocked me. Now, in the same time, we did an exercise where we asked them to like navigate around, is there a chair in the way? And it was getting that wrong. But the actual bit of sitting in front of a piece of paper and getting it to read, it was just perfect. So kind of, I suppose it was mixed, but yeah, the paper, the reading bit was amazing.
So just a disclaimer to all our listeners, we are not saying that Meta glasses will navigate you. Please use your mobility aids.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fairness, I don't think Meta is saying that either, but it was just like describing the room. It was getting some of it wrong. And I think, you know, it can get it wrong, but it's certainly a lot better than what most of us would do maybe with an app on the phone. It just seems to be that it's easier to position it because it's on your head and you can kind of position it a bit easier rather than trying to position a phone.
Fantastic. And for anyone who's interested in registering for DigiCoach, Declan, what's the process to do that?
So it's very simple. This time it's open to anyone. So over 18, but if you're a parent of a child with sight loss, we can coach you. If you're a professional who works with people with sight loss, we can also coach you. But if you have sight loss yourself as well, you just email digicoach@fightingblindness.ie and we'll get in touch with you. So it's completely free, multiple sessions online and limited in person. And just if there is some aspect of assistive technology that you're struggling with or curious about or want to know more about, just send us an email. We'll see what we can do.
Excellent. Declan, thanks. And you do something else that's quite, I suppose, I want to say niche, because not a lot of blind and vision impaired people would be doing this every day. And I hear you are working with children as well in doing something.
Yeah, so we're doing some coding lessons for children who are blind or visually impaired. And the idea started because I studied computer science myself. And I think a lot of us, we grow up where maybe sighted children would doodle when they're bored in class and we go into the help files in Word because we're in class with a laptop. And I suppose the curiosity grew, and I just got really interested in computers, and I decided to go and study computer science in Maynooth. And I actually went away from it a bit, but I took it back up as a hobby, and I started to tinker with electronics as well, something that, you know, studying it I struggled with, but I got interested in the whole thing. I met an artist and academic from the UK who did some e-textiles, so that's sewing circuits into clothes or fabric. And we just talked about it because she did her PhD in teaching blind and visually impaired people how to make e-textile circuits, and she wanted to do more on code. So we then did a collaboration, which was great, except it was during COVID. So we were going to do it in person, and then I think everyone got COVID. So we decided to move it onto Zoom, and it was challenging, I think it's fair to say.
That was the case with everything, I think, at that time.
Yeah, but we did some smaller workshops and we figured it out, and actually it did work quite well. But then last year I was working on a Research Ireland project called Vision Code, and we took some children between the ages of 11 and 17.
May I say, you did not kidnap them?
No, we did not, but we did teach them how to code in Python. So for those that don't know, for children, mainstream children in school, like, they learn code with dragging blocks around a screen. And it's very engaging, but it's also not very accessible. There is attempts to make it more accessible. I'd say they're not there yet. So what I did was I said, right, we're going to just teach these children how to code in Python, which is a very common language that is in some ways easier and in some ways harder. There's pluses and minuses to other languages, but it's very readable. So if you listen to a line of Python, you'd probably guess what it does, which makes it easy to work with. And the other thing we used was the BBC Microbit, which is a small electronic board with lots of sensors on it and lots of buttons. And it's just very easy to do a lot of things with code. So we basically made things like a light sensor. We made a lot of noise because a lot of the exercises use kind of screens to output, and we turned it into noise. This board costs maybe €5, and it has a built-in speech synthesizer.
So when I remember doing an exhibition in TU Dublin last October, and you were sitting at a table with an awful lot of wires and mechanics, and I vaguely remember, I think it tried to play Twinkle Twinkle, and it was all done through coding.
It was all not only done through coding, it was done through radio.
Yes.
So the system I set up was there were seven boards, and you shake a board and it would transmit a different note and play it on all the other boards. So we did an interactive thing teaching the children about radio and about, you know, all the different kinds of code. And it's just these fun interactive things you can do when the technology has actually gone so cheap. You can kind of make something. I mean, to be honest, it's a silly instrument, like, you know, seven things you shake and it plays the note and all the others. But it's also really interactive and lots of people can listen in. And it's just that kind of fun, because actually, you know, yeah, fine, the world is built in electronics and it's very serious and a lot of, you know, you make a lot of money. But also it's fun and you enjoy it. And I think that's where we have to get to for science education. And I think we are. There's a lot of stuff going on that's fun and engaging, but for maybe blind and vision impaired children, that wasn't there, or there were less opportunities to have that fun. And that's kind of what I wanted to do.
That's incredible. And that brings us on nicely to, we asked our listeners last podcast to guess what Jackie's new toy was. Jackie purchased a lovely new shiny toy, which, as you said there a minute ago, Declan, technology is fairly, for coding, is fairly cheap. Jackie, tell us, we asked listeners to guess what your toy was. And Stuart, I think we had very varied guesses.
We had a few very, very varied guesses. So let me just read out a few of them we have here. So we had someone guess an Alexa. We had someone guess a koala bear for some bizarre reason. We had someone guess a chocolate fountain. And
well, I can understand the chocolate fountain.
That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. And someone said like a new phone or a new Google device. So people were very sure that she'd have a smart device of some sort, a smart speaker.
So Jackie, were any of those guesses correct?
No, but I do want a koala bear.
Thanks, listeners, for making her want even more things.
Yeah, I'll be moving out of Sligo soon if you start getting the quality.
Jackie, tell us, what did you get?
Okay, my new toy is Braille Sense 6 Mini. I got it from Sight and Sound. Now, it is a brilliant device, I have to say. You can do emails on it, Word documents. I've got Audible on it. You can play games. And for people, it's an Android platform. But
dun,
Stuart,
dun, dun.
Yeah, I know, like, Android.
Ooh.
So she's our token Android user on the podcast.
Yes, exactly. So I'm going to hand you over to Stuart Lawler, if you can come in there and explain what it is, because to me, it's just a brilliant toy. I don't know the specs of it, or I don't know the ins and outs, but it's an excellent device.
Stuart, you are very welcome to the Tech Talks. I suppose for all our listeners, Stuart is the, for want of a better word, the masked producer. So we're all used to Stuart being hosting a podcast or talking or showing us tech or whatever, but he is quietly working behind the scenes of the Tech Talks to make us sound as good as we are. So Stuart, you are welcome.
I think you're sounding great, Jade, and thank you, everybody. It's been a great show, a great project to work on, doing a little bit of work in the background to do some production and
keeping you quiet.
A little bit of editing after the show. But Jackie has been talking about the Braille Sense 6 Mini. In fact, she's described it very well already, and it's essentially an Android tablet with a couple of specialist, what we might historically call note-taker applications on top of it. So the Braille Sense 6 Mini is one of a long line of products going back to the, some people might remember the old Braille Sense U2 devices, and then we had the Polaris. The older devices like the U2 used to run on what was called Windows CE, which was like a cut-down or mobile version of Windows, and the Polaris was an Android device running on Android version 5. The current device, the Braille Sense 6 Mini, runs on Android version 12. So as Jackie said, she has some programs that she has installed on it from the Play Store, and it also has a range of other functions like word processor, email, there's a built-in web browser, there's a calendar, an address manager, an option to read books. You can sign into Bookshare with it. So these devices are used a lot in education, but they're also used, you know, by people like Jackie who want Braille first access, and who don't just want maybe a Braille display, who want a device that can do a little bit more like email, for example, without having to connect to maybe a computer, although you can use the Braille Sense as a terminal for your computer or your phone or tablet.
And Jackie, just because obviously you mentioned at the start you're in a splint, how are you finding using the Braille Sense Mini with limited usage in your hands?
It's not so bad now, but whenever I was in the full cast, I was using it in one hand mode.
Okay.
So that was, that was good. And I was able to take in, of course, read the Braille as well on it. But what I like, I've had a few different Braille devices over the years, but I was really just looking for a standalone device, and anything I had for it to work properly, it had to be connected to a phone or the computer to access stuff. But this, Bookshare is so easy to download books onto. I'm actually reading Mr. Bump at the moment. I'm very pleased with myself. It is because, I'm brushing up on Braille as well. I'm brushing up on grade 2. And it's like there's a speech package on it as well. So I read a sentence in Braille without the speech. Then I put it on to see that I get it right. And there's games on it as well to build up the Braille, your Braille speed, and kind of learning contractions and stuff.
Fantastic. And Stuart, it's a 20 cell it's a 20 cell device, isn't it? It's smaller than the Braille Sense itself.
Yes, that's right. So the standard Braille Sense, if you like, is a 32 cell device. The Braille Sense Mini is 20, so it's a little bit shorter, a little bit easier if you want to maybe carry it around, stick it in the bag. But the crucial point, I suppose, is that they have all the same features. The only slight difference is the Braille Sense 6 standard version has a little screen and has an extra USB port that the Mini doesn't have, but you can connect pretty much anything to it, and it also has Bluetooth, so you can connect headsets and all sorts to it. And with the USB connectivity, anything that will connect to an Android device, so we have had people who've been connecting cameras to these devices, you know, for Zoom or Teams calls, maybe if you want to have your camera. People who've been connecting extra microphones or USB controls, for example. So there's all sorts of things you can connect.
And like Stuart, you say, it's used in a lot in education and stuff. So I'd imagine that being able to connect various different things is useful for teachers to be able to connect monitors to read what's on the screen.
Absolutely. I suppose that's the biggest the biggest connectivity device we see in schools. People are plugging monitors in, sometimes people connect it to smart boards. And a lot of the time people use wireless mirroring, so we can use things like TeamViewer or even Zoom, which is the platform that we're using on this podcast, to do a simple screen share to a device that the teacher can access so they can see in real time what the student is doing. And that's really important, especially for teachers who may not have a lot of Braille, but who want to try to get a handle on where the student is in their schoolwork.
That's fantastic. That really is good. And for any of our listeners who might be interested in purchasing a Braille Sense, I'm assuming if you contact Sight and Sound, you will be able to direct listeners in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's plenty of times to see these during the year. It's a couple of technology exhibitions that will come up in the next 6 or so months, both here in Ireland, of course, and in the UK. So, yeah, the people have plenty of chance to see them. Or, of course, chat to Jackie on the podcast, I'm sure.
Yeah, or sign up for DigiCoach and I'll go through it with you.
So now might be a good time to give our listeners the contact details for the show.
If you would like to contact us with any comment, question or suggestion relating to the podcast, please feel free to email us at thetech.pod@outlook.com. That's thetechdocpod@outlook.com. We would love to hear from you.
Thanks for that, Pat. Wherever you are celebrating your birthday, I wonder what would happen if we had listeners that didn't contact the show.
If you send us your address, we promise we will call in the middle of the night without warning. We will raid your fridge, and if there are any legs of lamb to be found, yes, you know what's going to happen next.
So every episode of the podcast, we have a tech doc consult. So we go around the table and talk about a topic that we find interesting. And this time around, I was thinking aloud while on a call, and I actually realized there's a lot of technology out there that is scary. And for me, technology in education, especially in primary school, where children are being advised to not have screen time, to not be on devices, and then suddenly, oh, but, you know, five, six and 7 year olds are being told, but you have to do one day a week of homework online. That to me scares me, because if you have a child that's not used to using technology because that's your choice, then suddenly you're having to teach them. And they may not be ready for it when they're only learning to read and write in physical handwriting or a physical book. I just think for some people, for some children, it's very confusing. I know for my own daughter, who is very tech savvy, she's probably a bit more tech savvy than me, and it's quite scary how advanced she is. But there are some children that may not have that luxury of having a screen or being able to access the education and, you know, being told you have to do your 1 day a week homework on an iPad or whatever, it can be quite scary. So I just wonder if we should revert back to not using technology to teach young children in schools. That's just my thoughts, and that scares me. Stuart Haxel, what do you think? What scares you?
I have to say, I do think yours is a very, very valid fear to have. But I'd say my fear, the one that comes to mind, is technology and stuff that can be in the kitchen. So anything that could be hot, like, say, for example, ovens that are completely flat on top and you can't.
Oh, like the stuff. Induction hobs.
Yeah, like that don't have like solid rings or whatever that you can feel like, okay, it's the fourth ring. I know where mm-hmm. that is. Don't put your hand there.
Yeah.
Or if there's stuff for like cutting meat or stuff like that, say you could have electric knife things that cut meat and stuff like that. Or
they do not really exist much anymore, thankfully.
No. But the stuff like that, that's not really made accessible. And sometimes things that can be left in the kitchen by accident, because I know there was someone here I'm not saying who or when, but it's not a family member.
Apologies to Stuart's friends and family.
Well, this person left a straightener on the counter in the kitchen, and I didn't know it was there, and I nearly put my hand right on top of it.
Yeah.
And it was plugged in and turned on. So
wow. Well, not only was that dangerous for you, but that could have also caused a house fire. But anyway.
Well, thankfully, they spotted it and ran over and were like, no.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I completely get your take on technology, like especially in the kitchen. Like, for example, I have been known to accidentally knock cups of tea or coffee that might have been left on the side, and they've been hot. Oh,
yes. I've done that. You don't realise that someone's left a cup beside the kettle, and you think, all right, it's all clear now, I can go. Just slightly edge your elbow over slightly, or say if there's a cup on top of like a little coaster thing, you nudge it over slightly and it's gone off the...
I also, following on from your stuff being left in the kitchen, I know it's not really technology, but little pieces of Lego. Oh, the amount of times I have stood on Lego, it is not pleasant.
No. I have a few stories, but I think I'd get in trouble if I said what happened. I'd get in trouble if I said what happened with Lego.
Jackie, what about you?
Mine, if you play on violin music here, goes back to being 6 years old. When we
Cute
were
flashback music.
Yeah, exactly. We were my dad was in the hospital, this kind of a community hospital, whenever he was kind of on his dying. But there was a massive statue of the Virgin Mary. Now, for me, it was massive because I was only six. It was a tiny thing. But she was standing on a snake, and the snake's mouth was open. So my uncle told me, if you put your finger into the snake's mouth, it'll chop it off. I was petrified to touch that snake because I thought that would happen. So 20 years later, I put my finger in the snake's mouth and it didn't lose my finger. But going back to the fear shredders, I am petrified of shredders. I was working on a switchboard and there was this machine beside me and the wee flap on it, and I lifted up the flap and I was rubbing my finger, my two hands now over and back on it. And about 10 minutes later, somebody came in and took the lid off it and emptied the paper. And I was like, oh my God, if that was plugged in. So, absolutely petrified of shredders.
Well, that is a very valid fear. And it's, I suppose, technology that's not even assistive technology. It's every office, most homes have them, you know. Like, it's something you'd never actually think of, to be fair.
But it is
literally you putting your hand in the snake's mouth.
Yeah. At least that snake didn't harm me. The shredder could.
Absolutely.
Especially if they don't have light, if they just have lights on them and don't make any noise when they're on or anything like that. Like, that could be very dangerous.
Yeah, no, that freak. And to this day, like, you know, and I'm in my 40s and I still can't be anywhere near a shredder.
No, that's very valid. Ken, you're very quiet. I'm wondering, are you scared?
Really, really scared.
What about you? What scares you?
I suppose just going to Stuart's thing there before I move on to what actually scares me. Like, the kitchen actually scares me as well, Stuart. The microwave. Have a bowl of porridge in the morning, as I do every day, and you clean the microwave and then come back to next day to use it again, and the previous day you've actually moved the plate in it by accident, so the next morning you go to put on your porridge and it's there banging, and then you have to take it out and try and set it again properly. And you spend about 5 minutes fidgeting with this before you actually get your bowl of porridge in the right position on the plate. It's just
first world problems, Ken.
Flatbed microwave.
I knew you were going to come in with that suggestion, Jackie.
I would really love one of them.
Our microwave is working fine, so that won't happen for a while. I suppose the one thing that scares me is WhatsApp. WhatsApp is chat groups. Like, you know, you'll get a message in a group and you'll be reading it, and then you'll be like, oh, I must reply to this. So you'll be replying. Then another message will come in from someone else, and for some reason, you're replying in your first chat that comes in, but like when the next message comes in, you automatically end up jumping in to the person that has messaged you privately. And I always have a fear of posting in the wrong bloody group and replying to someone. I've done it once, but thankfully I was able to recall the WhatsApp very quickly. But you just have to be so careful, because you could end up giving out about someone, and it just scares me, to be honest, really.
Yeah. I think we've all done that.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I did think that was a weird message you did delete, alright? I was curious.
But on the deleting, if you're panicking to delete this message, you've got delete for me or delete for everyone.
And there's no way of recovering that if you delete for you. No. It's gone and you're just going like, oh God.
And again, it's fine if someone hasn't spotted, you can delete it quickly. But like, just a funny story, actually, this happens to sighted people as well, because I was talking to a friend yesterday and she's in a group with a school, and this mother, anyway, she was posting loads of times in the group, and she was just wrecking everyone's head. So the person in the group thought she was replying to her friend privately, and she ended up like talking behind her back in the messages she thought, and she ended up pecking out of it.
Yeah.
She's bleep, like, will that bleep person ever stop messaging in this group? But it had actually gone to the whole group instead of the person privately.
And just
cringing.
She's like afraid to face that person now. Thankfully, she hasn't seen her in person since. But like, she just thought she was messaging her friend privately, but just straight away in the group. So again, that it just scares me so much to post in the wrong group. So yeah, that's kind of mine, really.
There's actually an Andrea Marr book. I can't think of the name of it now, but it's about that the woman posts into the wrong WhatsApp group.
No, that was the one about the girl went missing. We'll have to start doing a book corner. We'll have to see if our listeners think us doing a book rec once a month.
Yeah, I think I actually read that book as well, Jackie, now that you mentioned it. It sounds vaguely familiar.
She posted it.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is a question to our listeners. Can anyone remember the name of that book? Because obviously we have two extra guests. So Declan, what tech scares you, or what are you fearful of?
What I'm afraid of is the updates and the changes, where it's like I'm able to do something and then there's a new version and suddenly it's like either impossible or 10 times harder. I remember seeing this with the Irish Times app ages ago on Android, where before the change I could read each story and scroll down. And it's like each time I scrolled was once one article. And after, I had to scroll, I think, 5 or 6 different things per article, and it just didn't work well. And the absolute worst, one day I was in a rush and I was doing something with my emails and I needed to send an email. And I just, you know, the way Microsoft has a new Outlook.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically fooled me into saying yes. Switch to the new Outlook when I restart. So I need to send an email. I restarted, switched to the new Outlook, had to log in again, all this, and went into it. And literally I got stuck in an email and couldn't get out. So I managed to switch back and they said, do you want feedback? Well, I tell you, I hope the feedback I left them made someone cry, because that was my intention. Like, I left this. I don't normally leave ranty reviews, but I was just so annoyed. And like, it is stuff like that where it's like, I just want the things I have to work. I've learned how to do them. In some cases, I've learned the number of tabs I need to do, but I just want it to work. And it's that sort of sickening feeling of like, oh, that's gone now. We're not able to do that anymore.
Mm. Yeah, no, I remember when they updated that, and I, like you, I selected, switch to new Outlook. I couldn't find the send button.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to find the send button to reply to emails. I couldn't find it. I then had to ask for help because I just was at a loss. I can't find it. It's not in the corner where it's supposed to be.
And I'm sure it is there, but it's like you're doing your thing. You don't have time to relearn this key tool of your productivity
especially
system.
Especially if you're anything like me and you do some emails at 7 or 8 in the morning, it's like, I don't have time to be looking for the button. Just be where it should be.
Yeah.
But what I'm noticing about Outlook, if I do send, it saves to drafts, and I think the message is sent, and it's gone on to drafts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's the latest update.
Yeah. Or if you cancel it, it's automatically gone into drafts as well. Instead of deleting it, it's just gone into your drafts as well.
I don't mind that so much.
Yeah,
that's fine. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
Should we tell people how to stop automatic updates on your iPhone for apps? Does anyone want to explain that one? Because I don't know off the top of my head the exact process.
So, well, before we do that, I was going to bring in Stuart Lawler and ask him what his tech that scares him was. But Stuart, if you know how to stop the updates, please do tell us.
It's funny you ask about stopping the updates because I have it turned off on mine because I don't like the auto updates. I like to choose what I update. I don't remember how he did it because it's a long time ago since I'd switched it off. So we will look
at going to app, and I think I will have to probably do some research on this, but I think it's in purchases.
Then
at the top it says allow all updates or auto updates, and you can just switch them off. But I think once you do a little bit of messing around with the App Store or the Play Store, you should be able to turn off the auto updates.
I think show notes, maybe.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I will insert all of this info into the show notes because, again, the docs need to have a consult.
And Declan can do the Android side.
But
I think Android doesn't auto update the apps. But
maybe the docs need some digi coaching.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Stuart, tell us what scares you. Like, what are you fearful of?
So I've been playing a little bit this week with a new AI service called OpenClaw. And just for your show notes, it's Open and then CLAW. And it is a piece of software that you download and install. So you really need to have a machine set aside for this. You give it access to the machine, but it has full access, full system access. It can do what it wants. It can install software. It can delete files. You can tell it what you want it to do. And then you can control it. You can talk to it using things like WhatsApp or iMessage or various other functions. You can connect services to it. You can give it your credit card and ask it to order things for you, check you in for flights, book flights. But I'm a little bit scared. So I'm starting to play with it, not with OpenClaw because I don't have a spare machine to install. I've started using something called myclaw.ai. So that's myclaw.ai. That's so that is a hosted version of OpenClaw. So you pay about €17 a month. And I've just done it for 1 month to test this out. And I haven't gotten very far yet. But if you just go and Google OpenClaw and some of the stuff in the news, you'll see stories about, you know, people who said to it, right, I'm going to sleep. When I wake up at 6 a.m., surprise me. You know, go off and buy something for me.
Oh, no.
And
oh, no.
It gave his credit card and went off. No. Now, there's another, I heard about a guy last week who didn't want to deal with the airline check-in, so said to OpenClaw, check me in for my flight. Here's the flight. Here's the reference number. And it went off and sent him a message on WhatsApp and said, I'm just at the seat selection. Do you want me to select a seat or do you want random seat? Or if you want me to select a seat, do you want a window? And he said yes. And next thing it said, here's your boarding passes. So that's the good thing. But I'm a little bit scared at the moment about what I should do with this, what I should give it, what I shouldn't give it.
Nothing.
In a worst case, I'll cancel my subscription if I get too scared. But it has potential, but I'm a little bit nervous.
But Stuart, on that, see where he was saying about selecting the seat or whatever. I mean, imagine if you accidentally said, yes, select a seat, window seat. Imagine the charge that might come on your card without you knowing.
Well, absolutely. Now, it's meant to tell you. I think the whole thing with OpenClaw is, It gets to know you. You tell it how you want it to behave with you. And there's some very positive things about it. I was reading something yesterday where a guy was on Facebook and saw something, or Facebook or Instagram, and saw something that his ex had done. And OpenClaw saw him. I think maybe it had been co-browsing with him, and it texted his ex some smart comment, even though he didn't want it to.
Gosh.
So no. I think you've got to be...
See, that would worry me. I just don't like the idea of... It's almost like Big Brother. Like, nothing is safe anymore.
Yeah. So, Stuart, I don't think you're afraid. I think you accurately understand the technology.
And the implications of it, I think.
I think, you know, there's great uses for AI, but some of this stuff is just fundamentally a bad idea and always will be a bad idea. And, you know, because you actually can't put real limits on AI. If it's using a large language model, it can never have a real limit. It can have a probability, but the actual limit can never be real.
Yeah, so I'm going to be playing with this for the next few weeks, and I will let you know how it goes. I will not be parting my credit card details.
To anyone in Sight and Sound who may be getting strange emails from Stuart, it's because he's playing with AI.
No. It's not connected to any of my work accounts. But so that scares me, and I think
that's a very good one.
Interesting one to watch.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. AI Great. Has completely changed things for us, but that's even scary for me. Like, that is frightening. You know, I like, tell me what color this is, or tell me what I'm at.
Yeah. I mean, I like the fact that, like, with some AI sources, like with Gemini, you can do the stream. Like, I was able to, the other day with an oven, I turned on Gemini and was able to say, what's this turned to? And it was able to tell me, and it was correct. Like, yeah. I had it verified by a human, but it was correct.
Yeah. And that's the perfect use for AI. Like, we've actually, and again, so I'm, you know, I've studied this in college before all the boom happened, but like, we've had computer vision for years. We've had like license plate recognition since the 80s. We've had in the VI space, I think Kurzweil. Scanning software was invented in the 80s. So, like, there's a really good use here of a computer interpreting a visual image and can do it mostly reliably. That's fine. It's the kind of large language model generating stuff that is off the wall.
It's okay if it's used in the right way.
It's even very good in the right way. But the off the wall, the letting it generate stuff, and you know, it does hallucinate. They did actually run a shop in America entirely on AI, and it gave an interview claiming to set the AI actually gave a media interview claiming that the shop sold tea when it didn't and stuff.
Yeah. But I on that, I think it was somewhere in the UK. I think it was an Aldi or an Asda. It was one of those shops. And they were doing the whole, like, you shop, you check out, everything was done with AI. And I just thought, I really don't feel comfortable with that. I don't feel comfortable giving someone something like that my card details and not knowing where it's going. Yeah.
And to be honest, Jade, it's taking jobs away as well from human beings. So, like,
For me as a visually impaired person, I prefer the human interaction. I like to know that, you know, I can at least ask, did I pick up the right tin of biscuits, or did I get the right chocolate? You know, rather than have an AI and you kind of go, okay, it's telling me that it's Cadbury's, and then you go home and you realize it's Galaxy.
It's like self-service checkouts in supermarkets.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they scare me too, because like you have to be with someone and then you're trying to find where to swipe your card, and like they're all touch screens, as you know, like, which are probably totally unusable.
Yeah, we could actually have a whole other podcast this. So
we could, yeah.
So, but Stuart L, ask your AI to buy me a koala.
Right, let's see what happens. Jackie, I will even get it to ship it to you from wherever. Sorry, Jade, I was just going to say very briefly, just to wrap that AI thing. I think it's really important that there's, you know, an awareness amongst the general public about, because of course you don't want to scare people completely about AI. There's lots of positive things, but there's stuff, and it's just about society becoming more aware of what's good AI and maybe what's maybe not so good AI, or maybe AI that needs a little more thought in how it can be used for good.
Absolutely. No, I 100% agree. And on that note, we would love to hear from you, our listeners. What tech scares you? What are you fearful of? Do you agree with us? Is AI scary? Is it, you know, in what it can do now? Is it, does it scare you? Does it interest you? Give us your feedbacks to the techdocpod@outlook.com. We would absolutely love to hear from you. And on that, Stuart Haxel, I'm not going to devoid you completely of your hosting duties. I think I will hand the emails from last show over to you.
Thank you. Apart from the ones about Jackie's toy, we had a few people emailing guessing about how many smart devices that she has.
That's right. We did. We asked our listeners to guess. Jackie mentioned on the last show about using a HomePod as a doorstop. So we asked our listeners, how many smart devices does Jackie have in her home? And I think we will keep this to Google, Alexa, HomePod instead of trying to bring in her vacuum, her air fryer, and all of that kind of stuff.
I thought we had agreed to call them Lady A and
we
Uncle
did.
G
I am very
something.
Sorry. So I apologize to any listeners if I've set off your devices.
Okay, so we have two guesses. So one guessed 40, and one other listener has guessed around 25.
And sorry, we have one other one that I just saw there. Someone guessed 7.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. That must have just come in because I have Do Not Disturb turned on. So any new emails that come in during the show, I might miss, unfortunately.
So Jackie, put us all out of our misery. How many do you have?
I have 20. I have like 5 or so in each room.
That is, even for a tech doc, Jackie, can I prescribe that you seek professional help?
I am going to AA Anonymous.
I have to say, I think those Harry Potter surround sound books must be amazing in your house.
Absolutely. Oh,
it's because I, and in my bedroom alone, like I have a Google, and then I have 5 Alexa devices, and I have 3 stuck at the foot of my bed and 1 at the top of the bed. So the Harry Potter one you've got, it is absolutely brilliant. And then there's a, you know, bag in the kitchen and everything. But
God, Jack, you must have some song when they're up loud in your neighbours.
Yeah. I for some of the audiobooks I listen to, it's very questionable whenever I've got it playing in the all-over group.
Oh, God.
And it's out in the hall in stereo, and I'm like, stop.
Sounds chaos. Sounds chaos.
I feel sorry for the poor postman who comes to your house.
My poor postman has been traumatized. But...
Right. We have a few other emails on different topics. We have someone emailed in a few text replacements that they actually use based on our discussion last time on the podcast. So they have said that, like the Uber one that I mentioned, they use I think it's BLD I'm getting here.
BLND.
Oh, yes, yeah, BLND.
And a colon.
And a colon, of course, using your punctuation, because otherwise, as I said, you'll end up with random things in the middle of your WhatsApp messages. So, yeah, they do that for the Uber. And they have alternative one that they use when they have their guide dog with them. It's GDB, guide dog.
GDB colon.
Ah, yeah, GDB colon. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, with my voiceover, it actually cuts out the punctuation because I have it on some. I don't like having random punctuations read out the whole time.
No, so that's very annoying.
Yeah, they do that when they have their guide dog with them, and that puts in another whole spiel. And the last one they say, they actually use the text replacements for doing if they use Markdown, which I believe is, say, if you're typing in a plain text document, you can write symbols before all the different words and brackets around the words to put in links and headings. So, for example, they do H1 and it puts in the symbols for headings, and H2 for the heading 2s and stuff like that. So that's an interesting one, actually.
That's a good one, yeah. That's a very good one. And so had we any other outstanding? I think there's one more.
There are 2 more, actually. There's one about the control center, and there's one that I think the Commander Doc would be fantastic to be able to answer. But
well, we might hold that email back till the next episode when Pat can join us again.
I think that's a good idea. Yes, we need the expert doc on this subject.
Absolutely.
So the other email is about the iPhone control center. So this particular listener wants to know, how do you actually work with it? How do you edit it? How do you add things to it? So
that is right.
So I can give a brief rundown on how you do that. So on your iPhones without a home button, you swipe down with one finger from the top of your screen slowly until you feel a little vibration. And then you lift your finger. That opens your control center. So to edit it, you find a random thing on it, like say it could be your focus mode, your dark mode, whatever it is. You swipe down with one finger until you hear edit, or if that doesn't work, turn your rotor, like your dial, until you get to actions, then swipe down and you'll hear edit control center. And you can now swipe around and swipe your finger up and down and you will hear delete or resize the options. That probably would be unnecessary for people who are not able to see them, but and you will have the option to add access the the control gallery. So in here, there's a whole ream of controls that you can put on your control center, and you can actually jump through the categories with headings, which is on your router as well. So you can have your apps, you can have your utilities, and you can have your accessibility controls. There's a whole lot in there. So yes, go on, Jed.
I'm going to save you some time, Stuart, and do a bit of self-promotion for us and say that and we'll put it in the show notes, but recently we did a webinar with David Nason from AppleViz, and this was one of the tips or tricks that we had in it was the control center. So if you watch that webinar, you'll find everything you need to know on editing and controlling your control center.
That is a fair point. That is, I'll let them go to that and get all the exact.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It really is a webinar worth watching. There's plenty of app recommendations, voiceover tips and tricks, magnification uses. There's loads in it. It was a very informative webinar.
Oh, and I just after seeing one pop in there asking a very weird question. Someone's asking, is Daredevil a hero or a villain? I don't know what they're on about, but I'd say he's a hero.
Anybody understand this?
Oh, Daredevil.
Go on,
Daredevil is, I think he's from Marvel Comics, and he is blind. During the day, he's blind, and as a superhero, he's blind. He uses cane, he builds Braille, he uses speech software, but then he becomes Daredevil, and he can leap off buildings and leap across buildings and high kick somebody, you know. And Stuart has done karate and stuff, so
Daredevil, Stuart?
Be quiet there, Jackie.
You know, so like it is possible for a blind, vision impaired person to do the likes of, now not to jump off a building, no, between two buildings. And
I've leaped off buildings before, not on purpose, but you know.
Are you Daredevil?
We're all Daredevil in our own way.
I honestly think Daredevil is a positive representation.
Oh, we are being paged. I think that is about all we have time for this episode of the Tech Docs. So, Stuart, thank you for reading the emails. I would like to thank Declan Mina for joining us to talk to us about DigiCoach and coding, and to our masked producer, Stuart Lawler, for his input into Braille Sense and for the tech that scares him. As always, we love to hear from you. So listen wherever you get your podcasts, and we will be back next time. I hope you have enjoyed the episode as much as we have. That is all we have time for. Thank you, guys. What's this?
What's this? Oh.
Very 60s.
I didn't agree to this song.
There's a man from Cavan named Pat the Bold, got a heart of gold and a temper uncontrolled. If you cross his path or mess with his plan, he'll put you on the noggin with a leg of lamb. So Pat, hey Pat, king of the land.
Sounds like my mother would just something like this. Like his
contraband from the sheds to the fields
to the Apple Store gleam. He's the wildest lad you've ever seen. Now Pat loves a chat in the men's shed crew, hammering nails and opinions too. But he winks and says with a mischievous grin, the hens have their shed.
Well, I guess I was wondering where he was, I guess.
But the hens got wind of what Pat had said. Now they're clocking revenge and seeing red. Chasing him round with a roast held high, a leg of lamb.
This is a good use for AI, by the way.
We don't get some last back on
the hens. Are armed and ready to fight from Cavan Town to the orchard trees. It's poultry powered anarchy.
Probably.
He ducks behind gadgets shiny and slick, iPhones and MacBooks.
Just a good way to wish Pat a happy birthday.
I guess.
But even she won't intervene here. Sausage meat dreams and gravy-filled schemes. He zigzags through culinary extremes with breadcrumbs flying and herbs in the air. It's a five-star chase.
Make me hungry.
Poultry
flam. Might turn me off, lamb.
Birthday king, may you laugh.
Turn me off, sausage meat.
From sheds to hens to apple delight, have a mad birthday and survive the night. So raise a glass to the cavern man, the legend, the myth, the lamb in hand. If you hear clucking, you best take cover, cause the hens are back.
Happy birthday, Pat.
Happy birthday, Pat.
and they brought their brother.